desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones, more than 24 actually. We cover them all one way or the other. It's a lot of coverage, isn't it, folks? Adding to that tonight with WNLS in Tallahassee, Florida. 1270 on the dial, 5,000 watts round the clock. They call themselves News Radio 1270 WFLA. It actually is in Tampa. The GM at WNLS, Judy Bailey, and the PD, JL Dunbar. My recommendation? Good luck. You know, it's like tonight, for example, we're going to be leading the next hour with EVP. Now, there's nothing freakier than EVP. That's electronic voice phenomena. And my guests, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, they're really interesting. You've got to give it to them on a number of scores. Number one, they don't sell anything. They don't write any books. They've expended thousands of their own hours and dollars on what they do. And then what they do is take tape recorders with never recorded on tapes out into graveyards and haunted locations. And they record the voices of, and now here I'll split it off a bit and I'll say, on the one hand, ghosts, departed souls, dead people. Now, I understand there's a large Christian contingent which would view it as something else just as chilling, though. Demons. The Christians, many Christians, would view these not as ghosts because they view the dead as dead, but rather as Christians, as demons. But either way you look at it, whichever they are real, startling, scary, will make you contemplate the nature of the world, and that's coming up next hour. It's really freaky stuff, folks. As Americans celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow, U.S. combat jets, you'll be happy to know, will be patrolling the skies over New York, Washington, and other cities. Because U.S. intelligence is picking up more talk about an attack on or about July 4th. But there's still nothing specific or cooperative. Under the command of the Homeland Security Director, Tom Ridge, the White House Coordination Center has established lines of communication to be in instant contact tomorrow with each of more than 2,000 Independence Day celebrations. Now, I want to say this one last time because it's my last chance to say this. Some people will be headed towards small towns. Might I make a selfish suggestion? Our little town, relatively, certainly, of Pahrump, Nevada. I mean, relatively, we are a small town, right? Growing, albeit, but small. We are going to have, they say, the largest fireworks demonstration in the state of Nevada. So it really might be worth your while, if you're in driving distance, to come to a small town like Pahrump to see the biggest fireworks display. I mean, we're talking thousands of shells, thousands and thousands of shells, a big 16-inch guns. I don't know where they got them. I don't ask about that, but I just know they have them. Now, the one thing we could use, the entire thing is going to be orchestrated, coordinated, choreographed by KNYE-FM, you know, our little station here in Pahrump on 95.1. And what we want people to do, because we don't have a big PA system, you know, we want people to bring boom boxes, anybody who's got a portable, in fact, anybody who's got a portable sound system and can come out there and put 95.1 through a loudspeaker, that'd be extra cool. Really extra cool, because we need to wash the audience in the choreographing. So if you have something like that and want to bring it out, it'd be a good time to do it. It's going to be something. It's really going to be something. We're going to choreograph the whole thing beginning at about 9:15 at night. The sky is going to turn a little different here in Pahrump. It's really going to be something. All right, well, anyway. Couple things I'd like to, number one, under what's new on my website, Oh, boy. Somebody sent this to me, as usual, about a half hour before airtime. This is an MPEG, or a moving video. And I guarantee you have never seen anything like this in your life. It's our little 4th of July thing to you, I guess. It's from somebody named Tom Lindsay, who writes that he came across a file today. It's what appears to be a Hercules. Let me see if I can read it here. I'm trying to play the thing myself and move out of my way now. A Hercules aircraft letting go a cargo plane, discharging all of its anti-missile flares at one time. This is, he says, and he's right, a breathtaking thing to see. You've never... God, it's absolutely incredible. It just lets go all at once. And I'll tell you something, they could probably fly this sucker over the head of the Taliban and not drop any ordnance and just do what they have done in this video, and about half the Taliban on the ground would drop dead. No, heart attacks. I mean, if you saw this come over you and do that, you would just, you'd have a heart attack. You'd be dead. And so I'm sure we could kill a bunch of them that way. Just this. So you've got to see it. It's on my website now. It's been for about a half hour. And it's, of course, under What's New. Just place your cursor over What's New. Now let's see what else is going on in the world. The Security Council today extended the UN peacekeeping mission to Bosnia till July 15th, averting threatened shutdown by the U.S. over its demand for immunity for American peacekeepers from the new War Crimes Tribunal. Fawcett, as you know, landed actually on a remote ranch in the Australian outback, finally ending his record-breaking flight around the world. The American adventurer's Spirit of Freedom balloon made a July 4th touchdown on Durham Station Cattle Ranch, about 870 miles northwest of Sydney. I don't think that's what he intended at all, is it? I thought he was going to land near St. Louis or something. Anyway, it bounced along the ground. Get this. For 15 minutes, it just skipped and bounced across the ground for 15 minutes, probably shaking Mr. Fawcett up pretty well before stopping. I thought that was absolutely amazing. That aircraft collision in Germany, a collision warning system was apparently out of service, and an air traffic controller was on a break when a Russian jetliner slammed into a cargo plane high above Germany. So that's great, huh? We talked a little bit about the collision avoidance system last night. I was wondering about that. So it was out of service, we now find out. And the controller was on a break. The U.S. air assault on an Afghan village that residents say killed 44 civilians was part of a larger week-long operation targeting Taliban fighters. Some of the hundreds of U.S. coalition and Afghan troops in the area had fought gun battles with enemy forces in the days and weeks before the raid on Monday. And finally, in world news, this is sort of interesting. As a Texas oil man, President Bush engaged in some of the same kinds of business practices he's now promising to clean up in response to a wave of corporate scandals. Seems when Bush was a board member of Harkin Energy Corporation, 1989, the Securities and Exchange Commission forced the company to amend its books to reflect millions of dollars in losses that had been masked. An ISO at that time, Bush, who was on the company's audit committee, was the subject of an insider stock trading investigation by the SEC. The White House did acknowledge that Bush had failed to promptly disclose the 89 sale of his Harkin stock as required by federal law. Wow. In a moment, I have updates on the cattle mutilations or predator attacks, depending on what you want to believe, in Argentina. And then I've got more on the Vatican's time machine. I, I reflect again, you know, there was this bouncer in England, and they found blood, you know, he was stabbed in blood, and it was non-human blood, and it was really a wild story. And we can't get, for all it's worth, we can't get a follow-up on that story. Somebody has really shut their mouth hard on this one. Now, I want to review with you again the story from Argentina. There's some monkey business going on here, folks. MSNBC had in part the following first article. MSNBC was first on this. A real X-Files case in Argentina. Government sends team to probe animal deaths. This was, I think, 3 days ago, right? Argentina is sending its own X-Files scientists to probe strange deaths of farm animals found dissected, mutilated, and drained of blood on remote Pampa plains, killing some have blamed on aliens. At least 70 animals were reported killed in recent weeks. Some, listen now, with their genitals and tongues pulled out with surgical precision. Surrounded by charred grass with no signs of any blood. One horse's hoof had a circle drawn into it. Now, that was the June 19th MSNBC story. Following that, we get a story saying that the whole thing is nothing at all. It is just nothing but predators. And that just doesn't, you know, it does not square with story number one, which was very specific about the surgical precision. And story number two says, oh, it's baloney. And now, today, story number three, from Ananova, cow mutilation mystery deepens with three more deaths. The mystery surrounding cow mutilations in Argentina has now taken a new twist with the discovery of three more bodies. Scientists say the deaths of more than 100 cows are due to, as I told you, natural causes, but they say the bodies have been attacked by foxes and rodents and so forth. How they do that with surgical precision, I don't know. The locals, of course, speculating aliens or vampires. Now, three more dead have been found with unusual insects inside of them. That's examining the carcasses. In Alto Belo told a Liberal newspaper that it was abnormal to find the insects inside the dead bodies, though they would not say what kind of insects they were. So here's a story that it's almost like Roswell, isn't it? In 1947, a Major Marcel, who would know a flying saucer from a weather balloon, reports a flying saucer has crashed. Then the story gets bigger, and then it gets killed, and then it's a weather balloon. He's holding up little pieces of a tinker toy weather balloon. This story is kind of tracking in a similar way, I thought, in Argentina. You know, first you get 100 cows cut with surgical precision, and then you get a story about rodents, and then you start getting stories about more cows. Now, that sounds just like the way the Roswell story went to me. Now, the other you know what? Friday, I might do something on time travel in open lines. I mean, I am so totally fascinated with time travel right now. Last night, I read you the story about the Vatican. I'll read it from Wireless Flash again right now, and I've got more. First, the Vatican was accused of hiding the records of priests who've abused kids. Now, it's being accused of hiding a time machine. The machine in question is called a chronovisor. It was built in the 1950s by a Benedictine monk named Father Pellegrino Ernetti. No photographs of the chronovisor exist, but paranormal journalist John Chambers, who we're trying to get hold of, says Ernetti reportedly used the Wayback Machine, that's in quotes, to film Christ's crucifixion for Vatican officials. Ernetti died in 1994 without revealing the secret of the chronovisor, but Chambers says evidence is now mounting that the Catholic Church is hiding a working model from the rest of the world, supposedly to keep it from getting into evil hands. Sounds crazy, maybe, but there may be something to it. Chambers says a Jesuit priest named Father Franciscus Brunet believes that the chronovisor must exist because, in the priest's words, quote, Ernetti wouldn't lie about such things, end quote. Now, tonight comes a little more on the chronovisor. The Benedictine father, Marcello Pellegrini Ernetti, invented a method of recovering sound waves from the past and converting them into visual and acoustic reconstruction of history. Father Ernetti, a professor at a conservatory and an Italian conservatory of religious instruction for men, accomplished his research in collaboration with 12 physicists who remain anonymous. In 1956, Father Ernetti began to investigate the possibility of reviewing the past with a television-like device. Whew. In 1957, he began collaborating with the Portuguese professor de Matos, who was researching the same problem. Ernetti's theoretical approach was based on Aristotle's concept of the disintegration of sound, according to which light and sound waves do not disappear after being produced, but are rather transformed in some way and remain present indefinitely. According to Ernetti, sound waves subdivide into harmonics that can be recovered with appropriate instruments. That's right, recovered. Ernetti stated that every human being traces from birth to death a double furrow of light and sounds. This constitutes his individual identity mark. Same applies to an event, to music, to movement. The antennas used in our laboratory enable us to tune into these furrows of pictures or sound. Ernetti recovered photographs of such events as the crucifixion of Christ and reconstructed acoustic events such as the Quintusinus tragedy and the original Latin from a performance in 169 B.C. Get this, he also claimed to have recovered the original text of the Ten Commandments given to Moses. He refused to reveal any details of his invention, and it has been thoroughly suppressed by the Italian government. So, this just drives me totally berserk. It is time travel of a sort. It is not, if as described here, a time machine technically. However, if you can selectively go back, almost like changing TV channels, and you can recapture the light and the sound from an event in the past, then you could end up, I suppose, with an MPEG. You know, an MPEG, just like the one I've got on the website, the Hercules dumping. Oh, my God, you've got to see that. But that event in time would not have to be captured by a camera at that moment, because that event in time is always there. They mentioned antennas, right? Antennas. And that would make sense to me. If light and sound are, in essence, eternal, and if you're on the right frequency or you're doing the right thing, who knows what their machine constitutes right, how they do it technically. But if everything is right, then you can virtually play this event back on kind of a TV. And what would the Vatican go after? Things like the crucifixion, of course. The Ten Commandments. Now, would they like to know about those, to actually stop, freeze frame Moses with the tablets in his hand and read the Ten Commandments? That'd be exactly the kind of thing the Vatican would do with it, right? Exactly the kind of thing they'd do with it. So this story absolutely fascinates me. Open lines coming right up. Stay right where you are. Good idea anyway. Yeah! What is good for? Absolutely nothing! Oh, just a quick note for those of you who might be headed to our little fair town here in the desert of Pahrump, Nevada. I recommend you come around dusk, you know, just before dusk, just around dusk, because it's going to be hot. You know, we live in the desert here, and it goes up to 102, 103, 105, sometimes 108 degrees, pretty typical about this time of year. We are in summer, no question about it. But when the sun goes down in the desert, it takes a sudden drop down to about 90, and with no humidity, and tomorrow's forecast, clear skies, light wind, it's God's country, to be sure. I mean, there's nothing like it in the entire world until you've experienced the dry air of the desert at night. It's really something. So it should be a good night, especially those of you who have sound trucks out there. We need a bunch of people to have sound trucks and retransmit, you know, 95.1 out here, because we're going to choreograph everything. So anybody with a sound truck, bring a radio, and you can play it and for everybody's enjoyment. We want lots of boom boxes, lots of sound trucks, whatever we can get. All right, here we go. Open lines. First time caller line, you are upon the air. Cheerio.
How you doing, Art?
I'm doing okay. You're in a truck, I bet, somewhere.
Yeah, I'm rolling north through the Tar Heel.
All right, in Carolina.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, sir. What's up?
First of all, I appreciate you keeping me up every night.
You're very welcome.
When you were talking a while ago about catching light and sound from back in time.
Light and sound from time, yes.
It struck me that the people that you're going to have on tonight, maybe that's how they get their recording.
Oh, now that's brilliant, sir. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll ask them specifically about that as we open up the program tonight. That's really interesting, and you could be, of course, you know, I thought, well, it's got to be dead people or it's, you know, got to be demons, but a voice out of time? Hey, maybe. Maybe. Good thought, sir.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. A pretty good thought. Not bad, huh? It could as easily be a voice out of time. A communication from time, a communication from the mass consciousness, and maybe somebody who's dreaming. God, there are all kinds of possibilities about where these audio files come from, but we do know this. They're doing honest work. They're not making money. It's just costing them a lot of money, and so there are no motivations to what they're doing, except trying to educate the world about the fact that there is something else out there. Maybe ghosts, maybe time travelers. Who knows? Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Hi.
I do want to talk about time travel, specifically about what you said regarding the religious things of the Vatican.
I did repeat what you said the other night. You said, well, they'd go back and they wouldn't find any crucifixion because it never happened, right?
Yes, I want to extend that to another aspect of that, to the present, and what people believe wrongly, in my view wrongly, will happen in maybe the near future, which I say will not happen. And I'm going to relate that to the time machine that you talked about, because people, I think, who do not look at this, what you talked about, time machine, skeptically, with critical thinking, possibly believe that. Now, relating to what I just said now, did you see last week's Time magazine, the cover story of last week's Time magazine? I'll tell you right now what it is. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It said the apocalypse. How many people in our country, many people believe literally that this is the end of days, the end of the world prophecy, Armageddon, Revelation, the rapture, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you got to admit, there are signs.
No, well...
Well, yes, there are. I mean, you just simply cannot miss it. If you look at today's headlines and look at what's going on in the world, my friend, there are signs.
Well, let me say it a different way, in a secular way, non-religious, logical, rational way. Yeah. Because there are bad, negative things that seem to a lot of religious people to be...
Wait a minute. I just thought I heard you say that religion was logical and rational.
No.
It sounded that way.
No, I'm saying I'm going to talk about it from a logical, rational, secular point of view.
I see.
Because there seem to be negative things happening now, which might mimic or parallel some things that people seem to say are in the Bible written thousands of years ago,
yes.
Pestilence, war, famine, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
A does not mean, therefore, that the things that will happen next, supposedly, ultimately, where Jesus coming down in the cloud, people being raptured up, things disappearing, and then a nuclear war with people going to heaven and Armageddon, all this religious stuff. Because the first part happens, what's happening now, does not logically follow what people believe next will happen. What I'm trying to say is what I utterly fear is religious people, particularly religious people in government. We have the most religious president of the United States right now in modern times, very conservative and very religious, more religious than Ronald Reagan, who I fear literally believes in all this stuff, the rapture, Armageddon, et cetera, et cetera. And what terrifies me as a, I'll say, non-believer, okay, I use that word.
Well, you're an atheist. You're kind of like an atheist Spock.
Well, okay, atheist, but if I can see you said it, I'll say atheist, obviously I'm an atheist. That he could self-fulfill, not Armageddon, not the rapture, not revelation, not prophecy, but a secular version is some kind of a nuclear war. It could be limited, it doesn't have to be the whole planet, or it could be the whole planet, or some version, chemical, biological, nuclear, which terrifies me no end. Do you see my point?
Well, right. Yeah, sure. Here's one way of thinking about it for you, Bill, and that is that either way you think about it, whether you think that they really are signs of the end times, and that might happen, which I know you don't, or you think that it is because so many believe and so many do believe, Bill, compared to you, that it will be a self-fulfilling fulfilling prophecy. Either way, your ass is grass.
Yeah, and that's right. And me, as a non-believer, just one more time, thank you, one more time, as an atheist, as well as other atheists, speaking for other atheists and agnostics, who might end up dying from, let's say, chemical, biological, nuclear, if it should hit our country, when we're not religious, and I have nothing to do with any of the three so-called great religions of our planet, it's utterly unfair to me, or for that matter, people who are Wicca or other religions, let alone religious people who don't want to die because they're liberal religious people. In other words, they could self-fulfill not the religious version of the Bible, but a secular, rational version, meaning a nuclear war.
All right, Bill. Either way, Bill. You know, grass. Okay. So, complain as you will, it won't matter. You are of such a minority, and there are so many believers that, according to what you just told me, you're dead anyway. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
Just spiffy.
Joe from Boston, WRKO 680.
I have a
comment and a question. I want to ask you first my comment and your question on KNYE.
Sure.
What is happening to Dr. Anderson? Have you gotten involved with his family?
No, listen. No. We're trying. We have
the
tried.
Reason
we had numbers. We had websites. We had, and I'm telling you, man, just...
Well, the reason that I ask is maybe you can have this professor on, this guy from Italy who built this other time machine. Because if this thing works, maybe the Air Force or Area 51, which I hope you do more programs on, knows about this and they're doing some work down there.
Well, maybe we can get a picture of Dr. Anderson or Madman.
Or what happened to them. Now, my question is on KNYE. Can you tell us more about your radio station? Because I spoke with Will. I speak with him occasionally. He says they have failures over there. Computers, do you have failures? I mean, you record all your shows. Do you put them on analog or digital?
We do not have failures.
No. Will said that over at the...
Well, look, everybody who has a mass amount of electronics, I was sort of joshing, of course we have failures, can have things that go wrong. I mean, everything is on computers. Everything.
You don't use analog or reel-to-reel anymore?
There's not a turntable. There's not a record. There's not... anything that even resembles that technology anywhere near the building.
Wow. I don't like computers.
You don't, huh?
No, I can't see it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the problem with computers is they don't care whether you like them or not.
Well, how do you record all your shows? You must have an awfully expensive...
No. What do you mean, how do I... I play them. In other words, my show comes up live, as it is right now.
But it's being recorded.
No. It isn't.
No, I mean, you're recording it at KNYE for later?
No, we're not. We're just playing it live. It comes down from satellite in a flash, and we just air it live, sir. That's all.
Oh, I thought you were archiving it for your own...
No, the network archives programs. And they do that on hard drives, sir.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we're in the age of computers. You can ignore it, but it's not going away.
Well, I hope you get that professor on.
Yeah, I do, too. All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm really curious about that. I mean, Madman's been gone a long time now, and now Dr. Anderson. There may be a very conventional explanation for Dr. Anderson, but it's like he's number two of the time travel people. He's number two until I hear otherwise. And I can't be so sure that given the opportunity to pull the lever or whatever, if I could do it one way, that I wouldn't go somewhere, some when, and I don't know when that would be. But it might be just too tempting for somebody researching time travel, you know, after they send a mouse or two or whatever it is they send, you know, to climb in themselves. And of course, you never hear from them again. It could also mean they're a pile of dust. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Aliza, and I'm calling you from KFI 6.40 in Norwalk out of L.A. County.
That's, well, the point is in the wrong place. It's just 640.
Well, just 640. And, okay. Uh-huh. You know the gentleman that called last night about the birds dying here in L.A. County, in L.A.? And
oh, yes, I do.
Oh, my gosh. We had pigeon in our backyard that was dying and had eventually died. And we've had other little birds that have died. We've had crows that's died here in Norwalk, and this little Norwalk. And plus...
I'm getting a lot of emails about this. I wonder what the hell's going on down there.
I don't know that, but you know what else? Besides the birds, my cat, she caught a bird this morning. And so it's got to have been slow of stealth, you know, for her to catch it. And my cat, that's the first bird that she's caught in a long time. But... I think because my cat's been throwing up, my dogs have been throwing up, and I think there's something going on here that they're not telling or doing that they should be doing because the animals are getting sick here.
Well, you know, when miners used to take canaries down into the mine...
Yeah, I have a canary.
And the canary dropped dead in its cage, they knew it was time to go.
Yeah, so I think...
I wonder if it's like that.
I don't know, but it's got to be something. But you know what? You turned me into that VersaCorder. I love my VersaCorder. My next big buy is going to be that telescope. I love you, Art. You're the best person. And even though you keep me up, women stay up anyways.
Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Take care. That's very nice of you. Now, VersaCorder is neat. You can record a whole show on a VersaCorder. A lot of people are catching on to that one. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Russell, and I'm calling from Great Bend, Kansas.
Great Bend, Kansas, yes, sir.
And that's KVGB, and that is 1590.
That's the way to do it.
Uh-huh. And I'd like to say a patriotic poem for tonight's show.
No, we don't allow poems on the air, sir.
Okay, I
appreciate it. If you want to give us a thought, though, that's fine.
Sure. I'd just like to say that I'm very proud of the men and women that are in the armed services right now that fight for our country. And we should remember them on this date because this is a very important date.
Well, it is, and they are the ladies and gentlemen who keep it free. Again, I refer you to this this Hercules, parent Hercules aircraft, the MPEG of it on my website. Oh, my God. I'm going to say this one more time. You could fly this over the Taliban at a relatively low altitude, have it let loose with all of its flares the way it does in this photograph. You've never seen anything like it. And half the people on the ground would have a heart attack right on the spot. You wouldn't hit them with a bullet. They'd just fall over dead from fright. It's an incredible little video under What's New. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Hi, Art. It's Laura from Miami.
Hello, Laura.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to let you know that here in Miami, we have Saddam Hussein's stepson down here. He's being held.
Really?
Right. It was a, what was it? He was going to try to attend a flight school down here in Florida.
I wonder if we're asking him questions.
We probably are. I think they said he's being held in the Chrome Detention Center down here.
Huh. Well, yes, you can imagine, gee whiz, we'd have lots of questions.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So, an interesting thing has happened in Miami, and I didn't think it possible, and I thought since you're calling, I thought I'd say it. I'm so proud of it. In the last survey we did, you know, they do these Arbitron surveys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you well know, a lot of Miami is non-English speaking.
Right.
And a couple of years ago, I told the manager of the Miami station down there, WIOD, I thought it would be impossible ultimately to ever become number one just because it's so divided from a language point of view. And
right.
And so I thought it would be absolutely impossible, an English talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Number one in Miami.
There you go.
Last survey.
You're
so.
The best, okay? Everybody knows it, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Hey, love you.
Take care. That is true. And it was so amazing that I got an email from the manager of WIOD, and I framed it. I've got it on the wall. It's one of my proud accomplishments in an area where you never in all your life thought that you could, outrank everybody else in the middle of the night. It happened in Miami. Blew me away, I've got to admit. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art. Love your show. You keep
Thank
me
you.
Up all night.
Where are you?
Kansas, a little town in Kansas, Pittsburgh.
Middle America.
Yes, middle name humidity. I hate it.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway, what I was wondering, have you heard anything about the transportation of the nuclear waste? I'm really concerned about it.
Yeah, and it's going to come to a highway near you real soon.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I had a map up on the website that would show you, you'd put in your zip code, and it would show you how close the nuclear waste was going to get to your house, what highway.
I don't have a computer.
You don't have a computer?
I know. My daughter is giving me static about that. She's older, and I need to learn.
Computers today are not so hard to learn.
I'm scared.
They used to be. I know, a lot of fear associated with it, and there was even for me when I began long ago, but very quickly you will learn. You don't have to be a technician. You just have to learn a few easy little things, and you're in a whole new world.
Not to change the subject, but what can I do? I've called, our congressman. I'm really concerned about this on the nuclear thing.
Well, that's what you can do. That's all you can do. The American public has got to come to grips with the fact that while it's going to be stored in my backyard here in Yucca Mountain, seismically active Yucca Mountain, I might add, that's not the dangerous part, really. Really, it isn't. The dangerous part of this whole operation is the transportation of this poison that's got to be maintained for hundreds of thousands of years safely. But, getting it from point A to point B is like, remember the 1,000 points of light?
Yes.
Well, it's like thousands of points of terrorist target possibilities.
Well, we're right on the Missouri line. We live close to Joplin, Missouri. And do you know what highway they said? Or
no, I'm sorry, but almost everybody has a major highway within radiation distance of them. It's amazing. We'll try and get that website back up, all right?
Thank you so much.
You take care. And the American public has to understand that's the dangerous part of this. Moving it successfully, avoiding terrorists who are bound to use it as a target, the inevitability of accidents, all of that is the dangerous part of this. If they just conclude that who cares about, Screw Nevada was a bill, the official name of the bill, actually not official, but same effect. And think, who cares about Nevada? It's the transportation of this stuff, folks. You better check it out. It's coming to a road and highway near you soon. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. And I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
Okay, Brennan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, who are representing the society, are two of five members that are the GIS. The society is nonprofit, and the GIS members have spent thousands of dollars and hours dedicated to researching what they consider to be ghost phenomena. They realize that EVP is one of the most controversial aspects of ghost research, and that there are many speculations and theories about the spectral voices that have been recorded on audio and videotape. The GIS members believe the voices they have recorded are the voices of the dead. Most of the time, these voices interact and respond to the members that record them. That's the puzzling thing. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs presented will help demonstrate that the consciousness does survive after the body dies, and that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Welcome, you two.
Thank you, Art.
It's wonderful to be back.
Okay. Somebody called, I don't know whether you caught the first hour of the program, but we've been discussing this what's a time machine or a time viewing machine the Vatican may or may not have. There's some serious stories out there, and they claim to have photographed virtually, have video of or photographed the crucifixion itself, that kind of thing, that that light and sound never essentially die. They just keep radiating, and they're around, and your desk remembers what happened to it from the time it became a desk or when it was a tree or whatever. You get the idea, mm-hmm. that everything remains around, so to speak. And he suggested that perhaps what you get on your tapes might be some remnant of something once said in time past. And that it could be just sort of that it seems as though it's being responsive to you, that it's not an actual disembodied consciousness speaking to you from the other side. What do you think?
Well, that theory may work, aside from the fact, as we mentioned on every show we've done with you, that these voices interact with us. And in some cases, give us contemporary information. Yeah. I mean, things that show there's a consciousness behind it. They're aware of themselves, and they're aware of us.
Yeah, that's problematic to the theory, all right. But what other alternatives? That's just one. You know, the fundamentalist Christians are going to say, it's demonic tricksters. Everybody knows that. Anybody knows it who reads the Bible. When you're dead. And if you're getting voices, if you're getting contact, if you're being haunted, you're being haunted by a demonic entity. That and if it's your great-grandmother Gertie, it's not really. It's a trickster. You know about that, of course.
Yes, well, the most of the hauntings that we have investigated are not evil entities. On some occasions, they have been known to be helpful, and they don't display wickedness or evilness like what many people think hauntings are.
Well, I've heard you say many times in the past that you believe that people who die and then are ghosts or spirits, exhibit the same kind of tendencies they did in life. You know, if you're a happy-go-lucky person, then you're a happy-go-lucky prankster kind of ghost, I guess.
Right.
And if you're a nasty, miserable, rotten human being, then you're going to be a nasty, miserable, rotten ghost.
Yes, I believe that myself.
So, in other words, you encounter all kinds of personalities on the other side, just like you do here.
Oh, yes.
That's correct. And I think the voices that we have played in the past demonstrate that the personalities come through very strong in their voices.
And really, are the majority of people you meet in life are very nice and loving and caring. I mean, you very rarely run into people who are just evil and, as Barbara would say, cantankerous.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to sit and hypothetically discuss what percentage of the population is really miserable, cantankerous people. Ms. Pryor, what do you figure?
Oh, I'm sure that there's a lot, but
10-20%? What do you think?
I have no idea of the percentage, but
30%? One-third, maybe?
I think it really is all going to depend on where you live. Say you're living in Los Angeles, you'd be more likely to run across more mean-hearted people than if you were living
really
in Utah.
So. Well, the people of the City of Angels would argue that point very strenuously with you. Or maybe they wouldn't and prove it. I don't know. all right. Well, so you go. I guess we ought to tell everybody the methods used are scrupulous. In other words, they unwrap brand new tapes that could not possibly have anything recorded on them previously. Correct?
That's correct. We never reuse any tapes. All the tapes that we have recorded, we keep, in our personal library.
Didn't you ever think that you could get a gigantic electromagnetic source and wipe those tapes as clean as they would be when they come to you out of the wrapper?
That's true, but it could still leave that level of doubt. that something may not have been wiped out.
So just for the sake of the credibility of what you're doing, you always take one out of the wrapper, like a new deck of cards, huh?
Exactly. And
I also like to keep, it's a really a record of the investigation. Everything that takes place is recorded. And I would not want to destroy that record.
How many of you are in the GIS group now?
Five.
And you have held it to five. Now, I would imagine, as public as you have been on this program, and you've been a repeat guest or guests, that you had a gazillion volunteers and people wanting to join, and yet you have held the group to five. How come?
It's the main reason is we work so well together. We're really almost like a family. We see each other every day. We're constantly talking about ghosts because it's something that fascinates us. And to add somebody else, a new element, you run into a problem of not knowing anything about them and having to learn everything about them, and then you know, there's just not that comfortable atmosphere.
That's a good point. It's hard enough to get a group of five people who generally agree and get along well. That's hard enough. But
we don't always agree, but we get along very well.
Well, no, that's really critical. I mean, generally you get the larger group of people together, and then you're going to get politics within the group, and you're going to get a lot of disagreements and anger and people upset with each other and that sort of thing. So probably good that you hold it to five.
Yes, we work very well together. There's a real trust level that's among the five, and I think that trust is a very important element.
Where are the main areas of disagreement among the five of you?
The main level of disagreement is just figuring out what the voices are saying. And I mean, it's nothing that we really, you know, get in arguments over. We just end up playing voices hundreds of times just to kind of narrow it down to what everybody can agree on.
So you'll sit around a table and argue about what it was that was just said, not about what it is, but what was said.
Yeah, what was said.
We won't necessarily argue, we'll debate.
have you figured out that how hard it is, that it must be incredibly hard for a spirit to get something through to our dimension, for lack of a better word, on tape? Is that really take a great deal of energy or whatever from the other side to do that?
From everything that we've experienced, it seems like it is hard, and it takes a great deal of effort for them to do that and to affect our audio tapes. And the reason I say that is a lot of the voices are very quiet and soft-spoken. I mean, the voices that we present on your show are obviously the best of the best of the recordings that we get.
Yes.
But the majority are very soft, and it seems like they have to expel a lot of energy just to affect our tapes.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are really troubling. I agree with Barbara that the voice of children, which seems so common in what you do, that's incredibly troubling. I mean, children die, so then does all this mean, when we hear the voice of a child, that if you die as a child, you are a child forever after? If you're an adult, you're an adult forever after. If you're a decrepit old person, you're a decrepit old person forever after? I mean,
well, it's theory. You know, there's no sure answer on many of the questions that we get.
But if the answer to that question is yes, then the old die early and leave a pretty body thing sounds good, huh?
Well, there are cases that have been documented where a person who has died has been witnessed by several different people in different stages of that person's life. And I don't know if a ghost can appear in a way that they want you to see them. You know, I've thought that myself,
yep.
You know.
That may be the case, Barbara. I mean, this is, no matter what it is you believe about these, whether you think they're ghosts of dead people, or you think they're demonic spirits trying to fool us, or time travelers. It wouldn't matter. These are, to hear these things is so freaky. Now, maybe you guys have been doing it for a long time and it doesn't quite freak you out the same way. Or does it still?
No, it doesn't. And I think to the majority of people, it's more of a shock because the majority of people have been taught that this doesn't exist. I mean, since they were children, they've been taught that this doesn't exist. It's like the Sandman and the Boogeyman. It isn't out there. And then for us to come along and play these recordings on your show,
it can bother people.
It
is out there. That's the trouble. It is out there. Whatever in the heck it is out there. It's real. Now,
we have people contact us. You know, they went out and tried it, and they're shocked that they've gotten, recorded a voice at the location that they went.
Mm-hmm. I've been receiving some emails from people who say, look, I took a digital recorder out, and I've got EVP, and I've got really high-quality EVP, so don't even bother asking that question tonight. So I won't. I'm getting emails from people who say that the digital recorders, the mini CDs, those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
they're all recording EVPs
out there. And we've had people tell us, we know that EVP can be recorded on the digital recorder. We haven't ourselves had luck with them too much, and so we prefer, our preference is the
magnetic tape.
Uh-huh.
But people really do need to know this. They really can do this themselves. All it requires is a cassette recorder, probably a good one if you can get it, and blank tapes, and you can go to... Now, look, do you really recommend for somebody out there who's going to try what... after hearing this tonight, they're going to try it. Now, would you recommend they go to graveyards? Would you recommend they go to places that have a reputation for being haunted? What?
Any place that is associated with death.
Now, people can go to cemeteries in the day. They don't have to go at night time.
We have recorded voices
at all hours of the day and night. It does not seem to matter.
With equal frequency?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess if you've got a ghost, it's going to be there day and night, huh?
Yes. The reason that we go out at night most of the time is for our infrared equipment and because it is more quiet.
Plus, you probably have day jobs, huh?
Yes. Most of us do. There's one that works nights, but it's more quiet. The hubbub of the day is gone, and it's more quiet at that time, and so there's less interruption, and we're able to use our infrared equipment in the dark better. It doesn't work during the day, but to strictly record for EVP, you can do that any hour of the day. You don't have to wait for the sun to go down and go into a graveyard. You can take a stroll at noon.
Mm-hmm. The implication being then, graveyards are good because the spirits of the dead hang around their old bodies, yes?
That's true, and I also believe that the emotional feeling in graveyards is such that it can draw ghosts to it, or keep them there.
I'm very curious about something. Brendan, when you die, what are your instructions? You're going to be buried or cremated?
I'm looking at cremation.
Barbara?
Oh, I want to be buried.
Buried, huh?
Yeah.
You see, because it just sounds like such a lonely little trek to be making around your own gravesite.
Well, if I am able to stay as a ghost, which I would like to do for a while.
You really do want to?
Oh, yeah, I think it would be kind of...
a kick?
It'd be kind of interesting to see that experience, to experience that. But I would like to be able to if I'm able to.
Right,
I don't know if I have the state of mind to be one. I think most of them are quite miserable, and I'm not, so I don't know if I'll be able to stay.
Nevertheless, you've decided to go for the 6-foot under thing. Now I'm curious, Brendan, have you decided to be cremated for the very reason that we're talking about right now?
Yeah, pretty much. that pretty much covers it.
I thought so. And the rest of the group?
I don't think we've actually talked about it.
I know Roger wants to be buried.
Uh-huh.
I don't know for sure. I think Jenny is too young. I'm surprised Brendan's given it too much thought because of his age.
Oh, so you mean you're surprised to hear what he just said?
Well, I'm just surprised that he thought about it at all because of his age.
Well, doing what you guys do, how could you not think about it? Oh, well. And listen, we got a break coming up, and then we'll start with EVP. We've got recordings coming up that, again, whether you consider them to be ghosts, the dearly departed or not so dearly departed, you know, we were glad to see him go. Whether you think it's that or whether you think it's some sort of evil entity, either way, it's pretty freaky stuff. So prepare yourself, tie down, buckle in, and after the break, we enter the world of EVP. Literally, into the night now we go with Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth of GIS. All right, you two, here we go. What leads it off tonight?
All right, well, we decided we'd start this off with a kid's voice.
Naturally.
This was recorded in a cemetery, and we had actually just bought a new infrared night scope this night. And we were testing it out in the cemetery so we'd have a nice wide open space.
Well, I love those things. I've got some third gen stuff, and I love it. It's more fun. What do you guys think? You like it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We've gotten two of them now.
Oh, really?
And this one, the one we were testing that night was actually a nice little, it was a Russian military scope.
Most of them are, yeah.
It was great. But in this clip, you'll hear Barbara say, come and see Brendan if it makes a difference with the infrared. And a couple of seconds after she says that, you'll hear a child say, and it sounds like the child says, a perfect circle.
A perfect circle. I wonder, okay, well, let's listen. Here it is, folks.
Come and see, Brendan, if it makes a difference with the infrared.
Yeah, you know, I hear it. Perfect circle. I heard it right at the end. One more time. Listen very carefully, everybody. Somehow my brain didn't hear it until the very last play. It's replayed three times. The EVP itself, in this case, obviously a child's voice, is replayed three times after the original sentence in response. So listen very, very carefully. It does say perfect circle, I think.
Come and see, Brendan, if it makes a difference with me.
That sounds like it's a circle to me. It's a circle, it sounds like.
It's a circle.
Yeah, it's a circle.
Yeah.
Or a perfect circle. It could be either one, but it's one of the two. And I wonder if that child, that disembodied child, was referring to the perfect circle of light from the infrared.
That's what I was wondering, how the infrared emits that beam and it comes out as a circle. I almost wondered that myself.
A child's voice. You know, you get these emails from people who say, you've probably seen them, they're just sort of spam emails, and they say, I've resigned as an adult, I'm going back to being an 8-year-old, you know. I wonder if some adults who die, even seniors, are able to do the cocoon thing on the other side, and if they want to, become children again. That would be the bright side of looking at the children's voices.
That's kind of a theory that I'm thinking about takes place. I just can't imagine there being that many children's spirits.
Well, I don't know, Barbara. A lot of children die. But, I mean, if that thought and theory is comfortable for your mind, then embrace it.
That's more comfortable to me.
All right, the next one.
This was recorded by Jenny, and you will hear Jenny say, we had a person there accompanying us on this investigation. This was in a cemetery. And Jenny asks, you'll hear her say, want to go look for that grave? And the person that was there with us says, yeah. And you'll hear, it sounds like an old woman, it says, so do I.
Oh, by an old woman yet, huh? All right, here we go.
Do you want to go with that case?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that does sound like a decrepit old voice. I'm doing these twice. They're doing them three times, and I'm doing them twice just because I want to hear myself listen.
Can we go with that case?
Yeah.
That's really creepy. That's really creepy. I mean, we went from a child to that lady sounded like she was 99 years old.
Yeah, she does. And I believe that they intend for us to hear them.
Can either one of you recall, you know, it tends to come in just a couple of, or a few words, just one in a million, you get a whole sentence. Has anything ever come to you that suggests the nature of the other side? Anything spoken, you know, we've done hundreds of these clips now on the air, and I'm wondering if anything ever has told you what it's like there.
We have heard voices. One of the questions we ask quite frequently is, what is it like where you're at?
Yes.
Are you happy where you're at? And that kind of a thing. And we have heard voices. One said it was cold. It just said the word cold.
Yeah, and I remember a child said it's dark in here or something like that.
Yes.
It's cold and it's dark. You know, that really sounds attractive, huh?
Well, and the child saying it's dark in here was interesting because the light had just been turned on. So it kind of makes you wonder.
See, Brennan, I'm with you. Cook me at the end.
For the record, Barry wants to be cooked, too.
Oh, really? Okay. What, did you get a phone call or something?
No, he's here.
He's there. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm with him. Cook me and scatter me. All right. So a child and an old lady, and now what?
All right. Well, this one was also recorded by JIS member Jenny. And in this clip, you hear her say, let me live in there. It's warm in there. And directly after that, you hear a voice. It sounds like end of my life.
Now, it's Jenny saying, let me live in here?
Jenny says, let me live in there. It's warm in there.
It's warm. Okay.
She was referring to a mosquito that had just flown into one of the members' ears.
Oh. That's interesting side note. Mosquito that flew into an ear. All right, here we go.
Says, let me live in there. It's warm in there.
End of my life.
Ooh.
End of my life. End of my life.
Oh, without question, end of my life is what I'm hearing. Oh, that's weird. Let's one more time.
So let me live in there. It's warm in there.
End of my life. End of my life. End of my life.
End of my life, clear as can be.
And Art, one thing to notice, did you happen to notice the weird cadence of the voice itself?
Yes, I did.
It had a very weird speech.
End of my life. Something that I suppose a ghost, something that would remain here, would have time to consider the end of my life. End of my life. Yeah, really, that's really, that, but that's very non-responsive, isn't it, to the comment that was made?
Right. It really has nothing to do with what was said there.
Now, what percentage would you say of your EVPs are, in fact, obviously responsive to something you've said or one of your members has said versus those EVPs that you have no connection for?
I just guessing. We haven't really looked at it and done a percentage of them, but I would say just off the top of my head, probably 60 to 70% are interacting with us. We'll talk about what we're doing or what we're saying. And
boy, that's a high percentage.
Yes, it is.
In fact, the next voice is a really good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then next it shall be, number four.
At this time, when Jenny recorded this voice, it was in the middle of winter. It was probably below freezing, and we were sitting in our chairs out in the middle of a cemetery, and I had gotten a blanket out of the car, and me and Jenny were sitting side by side covered up with the blanket. And you will hear Jenny ask me, did you just pull down the blanket? And I'll answer her, no. You'll hear, it sounds like a child that says, I did.
I did?
And
as in, I did pull down the blanket?
Yes, and then she'll say, did you feel like a tug? And I say, no. But she had felt the blanket being pulled down. She really? Looked over at me and asked me.
Yeah, I've had a lot of stories from my my callers and emailers about blankets being yanked off them. So let's listen to this.
Did you just pull down the blanket?
No.
I did. Did you feel like a tug?
No.
I did.
That sounds very directly responsive, and it does sound like a child, and that's totally freaky. Here we go.
Did you just pull down the blanket?
No.
I did.
Did you feel like a tug?
No.
I did. I did.
How do you guys handle that? I couldn't handle that. I mean, you were in a graveyard?
Yes, we were.
And you were lying down and had a blanket?
No, we were sitting in our, we bring our chairs and...
I see.
And we're sitting in our chairs and it had gotten so cold sitting there that I got a wool blanket out of the car and covered up.
I'm going to ask this again. I know I've asked before, but I just can't resist. You know, you guys are holding doors open here. I mean, I fooled around with a million different things on my program, and what I've concluded, one of the things I've concluded, is that when you talk about the kinds of things we're talking about tonight, you open certain doors. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, even the discussion, the fact that your mind is thinking about this kind of thing, opens a door for you. And aren't you all worried that occasionally something's going to come through that you're not going to like?
No. No. I've been involved with this for years. I've never had an occasion where something has threatened or harmed me. I've had things happen to get my attention. I believe that it's to get my attention, but nothing has ever hurt me.
By the way, Michael in Villa Park, Illinois, is suggesting, with regard to the mosquito that was in the air,
mm-hmm.
He says, maybe, Art, maybe it was the mosquito that said, end of my life, when it flew into the person's ear. Oh, boy.
I'd like to meet that mosquito.
Yeah. Well, you've really got to... You've got to have a sense of humor a little bit, I guess,
yeah,
about all
do.
Of this, or else you wouldn't do it. All right. Number five.
All right. Well, this one was also recorded by GIS member Jenny.
Boy, she's an active little young lady, isn't she?
Yes, she is. And on this clip, this was also recorded in a cemetery, and it was a cemetery that we've previously witnessed a ghost light in.
Oh.
And we were looking for the light this night, and you'll hear her ask, do you see a light? And Roger, Barbara's husband, GIS member Roger, says, what? Oh, no. And then right after he says no, you hear a woman, and she almost sounds like a broken record. She says, yes, 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 yes.
Really?
And then I say, wow, because I thought I saw the light. And then Jay says, what, did you see it?
Okay, here it comes.
Do you see light?
Wow. It almost sounds like the person says wow, or somebody says wow right after the yeses.
Yeah, that was me
that
said wow.
And why did you say wow?
Because I thought I had seen the light, and it turned out to be just a reflection of a car headlight. But
Well, that's good and honest. This is such freaky stuff. I don't know. I it makes me question the nature of death. It really does. And I guess maybe it should make us all question the nature of death, huh?
Well, I'm not sure how freaky it is. It definitely is fascinating, though.
No, I say freaky. not in a freak show kind of way, just in a scary kind of way.
I think it's something that we don't... I don't think that we can fully comprehend it.
Nor are we meant to at this point.
No, I don't think we are meant to.
Are we meant to even be looking at and listening to the kinds of things we're listening to tonight? Do you think we're meant to do that?
I believe so.
Or do you think it's just some accident of dimensional difference that allows, some sort of voice to be imprinted in an electronic way that really is just an accident, and otherwise we're not supposed to be exposed to what we're hearing here?
No, I really think we are supposed to be hearing it. I don't think it would be possible if we weren't meant to hear it.
Let's do one more.
This was recorded by Roger, and we had arrived at a mausoleum. We were standing outside. It was in February. It was freezing cold.
It's probably 11 o'clock at night.
It was around 11 o'clock, and we were waiting for the caretaker to come and unlock the door, let us in. And you will hear Roger say, "We welcome anyone here to talk with us. We're back." Well, in between those two sentences, you will hear kids screaming. There was no kids at that time of night.
Kids screaming?
It sounds like, you know, how children sound when they're screaming, playing, running away, or so, you know, running
yes.
and screaming and playing. That's
yes.
what it sounds like.
All right. Let's take a listen. Here we go.
Welcome anyone here to talk to us. We're back.
Oh, boy, that does sound like kids screaming, doesn't it? Particularly in context with, almost more when it's in context with what's being said than when you hear it individually. Let's hear it again.
Welcome anyone here to talk to us. We're back.
That sounds like several children, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and we've had a lot of... We've recorded a lot of children in that area, and there have been reports of children in that area of the grounds of that mausoleum and cemetery.
Well, again, though, that leans us toward the idea that die as a child, remain as a child. You know, it tips it back in that direction.
Yes, it does.
And... I don't know. I don't know if that's my idea of the way it ought to be. Of course, who am I? It is. I guess it's going to be whatever it's going to be, and I'm not going to have a thing to say about it. Or maybe I will. Maybe everybody gets what they think they're going to get over on the other side. I don't know.
I don't know. It's all theory. There's no known things about this phenomena.
You would rather not hear children, right, Barbara?
Yes, I would prefer not to hear children.
And yet,
sometimes I wonder if it's a young, or, you know, sometimes women's voices will sound childlike. And,
that's true.
And there is that possibility that it's just a female voice that sounds like a little child. But there are some words that are pronounced that they just sound like children.
Maybe, but I've heard some EVPs that are unmistakably, unquestionably children.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
All right, you two, hold it right there. The Ghost Investigators Society, an electronic voice phenomena. From where? And from what time? I don't know. We don't know. But either way, it's pretty weird. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because I, you know, obviously I'm reading commercials live and I have no time to do anything else. I just caught this email that came rolling in just during last break, and I read the email, which I'll read to you here shortly. First, I'm going to forward this to Keith Rowland, and we're going to get it up on the website right away. I don't see any reason why we can't. This is about something that happened in Montana, and so let's send it to Keith right now. This is a beauty of live radio. You can do this kind of thing, and there it goes, winging its way to Keith. All right, Keith, when you get this, regarding the situation in Montana, would you please post these photographs as well as the email? I don't see any instruction saying we can't here. He even gives us his email address. Oh, my God. We get the weirdest stuff. Anyway, that's on the way to Keith right now. So I'll read you the email here at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we're going to return to the GIS, folks. And we're going to return to, well, whatever it is that we're hearing quite apparently from the other side. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you, Art.
Okay. We have lots of work to do tonight in terms of getting all this on the air properly. So what's coming next?
All right. Well, this voice was recorded by Barbara. And it was actually, we were contacted by a lady who had heard us on your show a few times.
Oh.
And she was contacting us regarding her parents' house, which obviously was haunted. She said that her children that would stay there had seen things, shadows, things like that.
Right.
Doors opening and weird noises. I mean, it was literally your typical haunting. We were just packing up our stuff and we were kind of getting everything ready to go when this voice comes in that either says, have them come back or have Brendan come back.
Any real thoughts on which it meant?
No, not really.
All right. Let's see if... wait a minute here. Let me get the right CD in here, or that's not going to work at all. When we're doing these kinds of shows, I've got to end up shuffling CDs back and forth, folks, so sorry about that. Okay, here it comes now. All right, now see, I'm not as sure of that one. I'm not as sure. You're saying it says have them come back, probably. Is that right?
Yes.
I can't make that one out. I'm being honest with you. It's easy. Let me try again. Okay, the one word I can get out of that clearly is come back. I do get that at the end, but I can't tell about the first part. I bet you sit around the table arguing about this stuff, discussing what it is you just heard all the time, especially when you get to something like this.
We do, honestly.
We do. We debate back and forth on what we hear. And
how many of them are really hard calls as opposed to, you know, everybody sitting around the table and you play it and everybody immediately agrees on what they just heard?
Well, quite a few of them, actually. Very rarely do we actually record a voice where every single member listens to it and says, oh, that has to be what it's saying. I mean, a lot of times we record very, very clear voices, but it's still hard to discern what's being said.
All right, onward. Number 8.
This next voice was recorded by Barry. We had been invited to a friend's relative's home. It had been in his family for generations, and it's in a little rural area down below Salt Lake City. It's a beautiful old home. The bricks were made out of the local dirt there, you know. I mean, it's a beautiful two-story old home. And we had we were spending the night there at the house, and no one lives in it at this time. And we had all gone out onto the, it has several porches around the house, and we had gone out on one of the porches, and he recorded this, and it sounds like it's, the voice says, I tried to get up.
I tried to get up. And was there anything that prompted it? Was it interactive, or you don't think so?
We had just gone out to sit out on the porch. It had chairs out on the porch, and we were just going out to sit.
Okay, so I tried to get up, huh? I hear clearly I tried. I'm not sure about get up. Everybody's ear is going to be a little different, but I clearly hear I tried. Let's do it again. All right, I got the I tried part down very clearly. I'm not sure about the last part. You too?
Oh, I hear I tried to get up. That's what I hear.
Do you ever wonder whether with something like that, you're eventually making yourself hear something, you know, your brain is forcing you to put it in some logical order because your brain is expecting it in some logical order. So after you've listened to it the millionth time, your brain wires itself and you hear exactly that.
Yeah, well, that's human nature, is to try and discern voices.
Order from disorder, yes.
Exactly. I mean, when we hear these, we automatically try to put them into languages, especially the English language, and make phrases out of them. And that's especially hard when we get voices in, say, German or other languages.
Yeah, I've got somebody asking my computer why you're only getting snatches and parts of sentences and not more complete soliloquies of some sort, some real big message. You're just getting few words. Why do you think that is, they ask?
That goes back to what I was saying earlier, that I think it really takes an effort on their part to even get these few words out.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely have we got anything over a sentence. In fact, I don't really think we have got anything over a sentence.
You know, if I was going down the highway at about 60 or 70 miles an hour in a big 18-wheeler and I had this show rolling right now, I don't know how I'd handle that. In the dark, on the road, in the middle of the night. All right, number 9.
All right, well, this gets into an interesting subject. Virtually every show we've done with you, you have asked us about a real-time recorder and that we need to get one or...
Audience, here's what I meant by that. In other words, you could get a recorder, which would have a record head, and then it would track over to an active play head so that you could say, are you out there? And like about a second later, it would pass over the play head, and you would perhaps get an immediate answer to your question, instead of having to go for hours and hours and hours of reviewing tape to find these EVPs, which is what these two do. You would hear an instant response, and so we thought that was a really good idea, and somebody went to work on that idea for y'all, right?
That is true. A wonderful man named Christopher Helms, who's an electronics engineer, has heard us on the show a few times and had actually had one built by the time that we did your last show in April.
Uh-huh.
And finally, you know, we finally got in contact with him, and we actually have two real-time recorders now.
It is.
And I guess he also has another one that is being ready to get sent to us. One of them has a 386 amp built onto it to kind of amplify the second playhead, so the voices are a little bit louder.
Well, then, I guess my first question to you would be, obviously, it's worked, right?
It has worked.
It has worked. All right. When you hear, it may be one thing to go home and sit down and intellectually play back a tape and catch something, eerie and freaky as that is, but to hear it in the graveyard, on the spot, at the time, that's got to set you back a little.
Well, I'll tell you, the first really, really strong, clear EVP that we recorded with the real-time recorder was, and it's a voice that will be on the show tonight, and the voice says, I feel so bad, and it was referring, we assume was referring to a lady that was here talking about her friend's mother that had passed away with cancer. And when I had the headphones on, and when I heard that voice, it shocked me. And I immediately turned to Barry, who was sitting right next to me, and I asked him, you know, did you just say anything? And he, of course, was sitting kind of slumped back in his seat, not moving like he had just said anything. I mean, his body language wasn't congruent with somebody who had just spoke.
Understand, yes.
And I talked with everybody and asked them, did Barry just say anything?
Well, listen to me now. The next thing, obviously, to try is to get an interactive response. In other words, once you've heard something, to say something congruent with what was just said and see if it produces yet another response.
Well, that's true. And really, this real-time recorder is going to take a lot of training to use. And the reason is as you mentioned before, there is a one-second delay.
That's right.
Actually, it's a little shorter than a second. And it's a little confusing to hear your voice and talk at the same time.
Yes.
And I pretty much got past that. But now we run into the problem where the second playhead actually produces a white noise static. And the voices almost end up in that white noise static, so it's hard to actually hear the voices, let alone understand what they're saying.
All right, number nine, coming up.
All right, well, this one, and this was interesting, Barbara recorded this. And she obviously didn't hear it at the time because she didn't say anything.
I wasn't aware that it recorded anything.
But you hear a voice say no, and then it says yes. And then Barbara's husband, Roger, says, we invite anyone here to talk with us.
After that?
Yeah, after.
And these voices, these two voices, the no and the yes, they sound like different voices to me.
Really? Maybe it's a debate. All right, hold on. Let's see if we hear it. No and then yes.
No, yes. If I hear anyone here to talk with us. No, yes.
God, it sounds like a domestic squabble or something. Listen one more time.
No, yes. If I hear anyone here to talk with us. No, yes. No, yes.
It sounds like a man and a wife. So, you know, in that case, you could be just sort of tapping in on whatever it is that's going on the other side, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And that could be an ongoing discussion between two of whatever it is that we're listening to.
Yes, and we've noticed that with some of our recordings, it's almost like we pick up on conversations that are happening somewhere else.
Between
two people.
Two entities.
That might not have a thing to do with you, not be directed at you at all, but you're just picking it up.
That's right.
All right, number 10.
This one was recorded by Brendan, and it's also was recorded on the real-time recorder. He was walking through the cemetery testing out this recorder, and he picked up this voice, and it sounds like it says, she ought to die.
She ought to die. Okay.
She ought to die. She ought to die.
Yeah, I can buy that. It sure sounds like she ought to die. One more time.
She ought to die. She ought to die. She ought to die.
You know, for two people who claim that you don't necessarily need to be in a graveyard to get good stuff, you spend an awful lot of time in graveyards.
Well, this one particular graveyard has given us some wonderful EVP.
What is the percentage of pickup you get in graveyards compared to some local fast food restaurant or, you know, I mean, any place else? I mean, you do go to graveyards. You must because you get a higher percentage return.
Well, at this particular one, we do. We have gone to many graveyards, and we might get a few EVPs, but this one particular one, we are able to record an awful lot of EVP there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an older cemetery, and there has been ghost activity taking place there. We found out about it through the local sheriff there.
Okay. I think we've got time for one final one before the bottom of the hour here, so let's have it.
All right. Well, I recorded this one, and you'll hear me ask, if anyone's here, I ask you to speak with me. I'm willing to listen to anything you have to say.
Yes.
And right after that, there's a woman that comes in, and it sounds like she says, one step in the light. And then I say, it just got really cold. I don't know if that's because of you guys or not.
Oh, one step in the light. Let's see.
If anyone's here, I ask you to speak to me. I'm willing to listen to anything you have to say. Just got really cold. I don't know if that's because of you guys or not.
Oh, man, is that freaky. That is so freaky. One more time.
If anyone's here, I ask you to speak to me. I'm willing to listen to anything you have to say. Just got really cold. I don't know if that's because of you guys or not.
Oh, that is so freaky. It's like, okay, come on, one step in the light and you're there. And you say, and then it got very cold very quickly, huh?
That's correct. It did. It actually, it seemed like it must have dropped 10 or 15 degrees. I mean, it was just such a sudden temperature change.
As you were hearing that.
Well, it was obviously. Right directly after that.
Yeah, obviously. All right. Hold on, you two. We'll be right back. I'm going to check with Keith and see if he got what I said him. This is one weird story coming out of one weird story out of Montana. And we've got photographs to go with it, too. So I'll see if Keith has received yet and is in the process of sending. This is live radio and internet interactive at its very best. We managed to get this up tonight. You've never seen anything quite like this, or maybe you'll be able to explain it quickly, easily, and we'll dispatch this as nothing. But right now, to me, it's as weird as what we're hearing tonight. Even cyberspace is kind of weird sometimes, isn't it? I mean, I've sent this to Keith 10, 12 times, and it disappears in the ether. Flat disappears. Really weird stuff. All right, now back to my guests, and back to more EVP. We've got a little more to go before we can get to phone calls, because we've got a pretty good list tonight. So number 17, I guess, is what's coming up next.
All right, this one, Art, was recorded in the warden's house of the prison.
Oh, really? The warden's house?
The warden's house. It's just kind of a kitty corner to the prison itself. Has been standing, well, virtually as long as the prison has. I think about 10 years after the prison was built was when the warden's house was built.
Right.
In this clip, you're going to hear GIS member Roger say, "Can you give us a name?" And they waits for a second, then says, "Kids." And after that, you hear a woman say, "Hazel."
Hazel. And you're sure that's an EVP voice, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Can you give us a name? Kid?
Yeah, that definitely sounds like Hazel to me.
Can you give us a name?
Huh. I wonder, you two, I wonder what percentage of prisoners die in prison. You ever wonder about that?
Yes. This particular one, they used this prison more as a rehabilitation prison than a punishment prison. It was only open for about 35 years, I believe.
Okay.
And they never did any executions at this location. One man died, I believe, of natural causes. And, you know, when we were talking earlier about the how dismal they sound, one thing to keep in mind, the places that we go are not very happy places.
Yeah, but you go where you find the EVPs.
Where the ghost activity takes place.
That's right. And so, again, your point of view that you don't think ghosts are happy entities at all, huh?
No, I don't believe that they're very happy.
Now, this would be a wag, which is a wild-ass guess, but, I mean, how many people who die do you think, by percentage, become ghosts?
Oh, I think there's more than what people realize, but to give a percentage, I have no clue. I wouldn't even guess.
But more than people think?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, number 18.
This is recorded by Roger. This is also in the warden's house at the Laramie Territorial Prison. You'll hear Roger say, he was talking to the director, and he says, room for you guys to make make claim. And you'll hear this EVP say, hit him in the hide.
Huh. Hit him in
hit
the
him
hide.
Hit him in the hide.
All right, here it comes.
Room for you guys to make claim.
Hit him in the hide.
That sounds like a kid's voice.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay, one more time. Listen, doesn't it sound like a kid's voice? You know, these absolutely are voices. I don't know what else to say. They can't be anything else. It can't be random tape noise. It can't be random anything. They're definitely voices.
Listen, some of the things they say, you couldn't come up with some of the stuff they say.
Or you wouldn't. And that's true. What safety measures do you all take to be sure that it wasn't one of your other members who, you know, inadvertently said something, or, you know, that is one of you? I mean, do you have two recorders running at once sometimes?
We have five.
Five recorders. Now, that's interesting. How frequently does an EVP show up on one or two or three or four or five recorders?
Quite a lot of the time, the EVPs do record on all recorders. There are times, as we mentioned, that they don't show up on a lot of them. They'll show up on one recorder, and then the other four won't have the same voice.
Boy, is that weird.
It is. It's almost a phenomenon inside of phenomena.
Yeah. It might indicate the electromagnetic phenomena. It can be very narrow, very small. The window can be very narrow and very small. Or it can be large enough to hit all five recorders that are with you at the time. That's interesting.
That's true.
Have you ever taken with you magnetometers, other instruments that would indicate some sort of paranormal energy?
Well, we take EMF detectors, thermal scanners, the infrared cameras, things like that.
And how frequently can you correlate an EVP with something else?
Well, I'll put it this way, not as much as we'd like, because we'd like to see the correlation just to say that's how it's happening.
Gotcha.
Maybe 30% of the time we might see a spike in the EMF detector when an EVP appears on the tape.
Okay.
Also, Roger wears a regular compass. We went and bought a compass in a sports store that hikers use to put on their watch bands.
Oh, how interesting.
And
theory being, I bet, that a lot of electromagnetic activity in the compass spins off north.
Yes, and it does.
And it does?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Number 19.
All right. Well, this is a really interesting voice, Art. In this clip, this was recorded in the prison yard itself. And I should probably note here that there was a leper that did die in the prison yard.
A leper?
A leper. And they kind of segregated him from the rest of the prisoners. But in this clip, you hear Barbara say, "Hello, is anyone here?"
Uh-huh.
And this man's voice comes in and says, "They've hurt me."
Really? All right. You see, I don't listen to any of these beforehand. I have a list, but I don't listen to any of these because I want to hear them the same time as you all do.
Hello? Is anyone here?
It's hard to hear, but I hear it. They've hurt me is obviously what's being said. Listen very, very carefully.
Hello? Is anyone here?
They've hurt me. That's what I hear. But, boy, you've really got to dig for that one, huh?
Yeah, it's buried in the static, and I'm kind of afraid I amplified it too much on the last two loops. It just amplified the static with it.
Yep. Well, you get to you lose more than you gain point with amplification. You can go so far and get a lot out of it, and then you bring the noise floor up so much that you start to lose instead of gain.
Yes, and I've noticed that a lot just with these voices.
All right. Number 20.
This was recorded by Roger in the prison. This was recorded at the house in Laramie, the couple's house that the director took us to. You will hear Barry say, "So we can go down there," talking about the stairs that go downstairs, and you'll hear Roger say, "Yeah." And then a man voice says, "My quarters."
My quarters, as in my place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we can go down there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's very, very clear.
So we can go down there?
Yeah.
My quarters. No question about that, as in my place. Wow. Where do you two want all this to go? I mean, obviously you're working with a real-time recorder now, so you've taken that step. Where do you want it to go? Where do you want this whole area of research, by the way, that goes back for the audience, not just to this program and to these two, but back in time, just about to the beginning of the invention of the telephone, it goes back that far. A lot of people don't know that there's a lot of history in the kind of research you all are doing here. Where do you want it to go from here? Where should it go?
Well, we would definitely like to see it get into more of a communication. And as you said, with the real-time recorder, that's our hope, is that we can develop some kind of a communication between us and spirits. Our other goal is to simply educate people and show them that this is something that's really out there. I mean, that's why we don't charge for anything, because we'd feel that that might ruin our credibility.
It would.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it's hard enough by itself, but you're doing it the right way. Absolutely doing it the right way. It's pure research. All right, number 21.
All right. This is definitely a weird voice. It's almost kind of singy sounding. And the voice sounds like it says, "It's called the Fat Girl." This was recorded inside the prison by Barry.
Okay, and it's called the Fat Girl is what's said?
That's what it sounds like.
All right, let's see. All right, now I'm not as sure about the first part as I listen. I can absolutely hear Fat Girl at the end. That's all, though. Listen again. All right, so there you are. I can make out Fat Girl very easily. I'm not sure about the first part.
And it's singing.
Some kind of singing, yeah, sing-song voice. Huh. Well, maybe there's a little singing that goes on the other side, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's rush now, because I want to get a segment in a phone call. So, 22.
This one was quite unusual. I recorded this. You will hear me say, "Will you talk with us?" And you'll hear this yoo-hoo. Brendan also heard this on his real time, but he did not record it on his real time player.
Oh, now that's weird.
It is.
That's really weird, because it has to go by the record head to get to the playhead for you to hear it, right?
That's correct. It's definitely a very weird experience not to hear that after I heard it through the headphones.
Let's go.
Please talk with us.
Well, that was all easy to make out. Please talk with us. And then the yoo-hoo sound, kind of like almost taunting. Listen.
Please talk with us.
Well, I'll tell you, of all the weird businesses in the world to be in, you two really can pick them. And actually, it's not a business, but I mean areas of research. This is weird stuff. This goes back how many years, this research?
Well, ever since Marconi and Edison, both of them were working on ways to contact the dead, and kind of early examples of EVP were started by them.
All right, number 23.
All right, this was also recorded at the prison. And you'll hear Jennifer, who is the prison director. And by the way, I'd like to thank Jennifer and the rest of the staff for allowing us to stay the night in the prison. But in this clip, you hear her say, "Yeah, that's a chainsaw." And right after that, you hear a woman that just sounds demented almost say, "Yeah, that's me."
Really? Chainsaw, huh? All right. Demented is a good word for that. Listen to that breathy voice. Yeah, I can just imagine being clipping along in an 18-wheeler in the middle of the night listening to this stuff. Yeah, that's me. All right, one more to do tonight, and it's number 24.
This was recorded by Roger, and he recorded this in the prison, and it says, "Get me out of here."
And there was no interactive aspect to it?
No, there was no talking at the time.
Now, here's what you would expect to hear in a prison, something like, "Get me out of here." And that you. All right, let's see. God, I hear it all right. There's no question. Get me out of here. Now, you'd expect to hear that in a prison, wouldn't you? One more time. Listen very carefully, folks. Well, there it is. And I assume that you all believe the context of that to be clearly what it obviously is, and that is someone's in prison, they want to get the hell out of there, and they're still not out of there, right?
Still not out of there.
So, you go to troubled places. What about the more sensitive places? I mean, can you get into funeral homes?
Yes, we have.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
That would be one area I would think they would be disinclined to allow you, you know, and the freshly dead and the...
Yeah, and we were extremely surprised that we were allowed in, for one, let alone that there was actual bodies in the place when we were there.
And did you get anything?
Yeah, in fact, we played one of the voices on your show a few shows back that says, "So is the dead."
So is the dead. All right, look, what I'm going to do is break here at the bottom of the hour, and when we come back, I'd like to allow the audience to ask you questions about all they've heard tonight, okay?
All righty.
All right, stand by, please. And that's exactly what's coming up. Your turn. You have questions about this. If you heard all this and you don't have questions, then you better check yourself for a pulse, because you may be trying to reach us from the other side. Otherwise, I expect you have questions. Coming up next, I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is Coast. So reminding you of that horrific little Montana story that I read you a little while ago, an hour ago or so, is finally going to get up on the website here in the next 5 or 10 minutes, very, very shortly, and it'll be there for the remainder, well, through tomorrow night, through tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow will be a repeat. I'll be off tomorrow attending to the fireworks celebration here in Pahrump, and I hope those of you close enough to come and bring sound trucks or whatever are able to do so, or just make it out here to the desert where there's going to be the biggest bang in the whole state. Oh my, it's going to be something. For the moment, we're going to go back now to the GIS folks and begin to open the lines and let you ask questions. So are you two ready for questions from the great public?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then here it comes. First time caller line, you're on the air with the GIS. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
How are you?
Okay, sir.
Well, just had a few questions, actually. Oh, and just for you, I'm listening to your show, WWNC, in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
On a 37 tube AM radio.
Oh, really?
Big, huge floor model. Great radio.
Good, good.
My questions were, one, have they tried to utilize all the technology to isolate these voices? For example, I mean, I'm a musician. And I'm aware of some technology which uses notch filtering to isolate particular frequencies so that you can get rid of any kind of background frequency and just isolate those frequencies that you want.
Uh-huh. It's a very, very good question. You two, how about it?
It is actually a good question, and that's something we're going to bring up earlier on the show. Right now, we are looking for an audio engineer for a project that we're going to be working on. And a lot of it's going to have to do with analyzing these voices.
Like there's DSP, for example.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of technology out there, but the cheapest available is like, well, really it may sound stupid, but there are karaoke machines which you can put your tape in and erase the voice, and what it uses is a notch filter to do it.
Yep, yep, yep.
Where you could...
No, you're right.
Tape.
I mean, the Police, for example, can eliminate all kinds of background sounds and bring one voice out of many voices.
Oh, yeah.
They have that ability. So if they had that level of technology, we might be getting much clearer EVPs.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably technology out there for the computer, which is far beyond anything that I've seen in a rack mount piece.
I agree.
And, I mean, I guess I'm a born skeptic because I'm open-minded, but I've never really had a paranormal experience myself.
All right, well, based on what you've heard tonight, I mean, these are coming off clean tapes, brand new, never opened, just out of the box, and recorded, boom, there it is. Skeptical as you may be, what do you think this is?
Well, I think, I mean, just in my opinion, of course, I think that it's when you have, I mean, I've heard EVPs before with different programs, including your own. And it's really hard to discount that information because you don't just random sound, at least from my experience as a musician, even stuff that I've recorded, random sound doesn't generate itself in the patterns that I think they've been able to put on tape. And it just, I mean, I believe the only reason I say I'm a skeptic is just because I haven't experienced it myself. And you know, maybe that makes me wrong. I'm not sure, but.
Well, when you hear it, sir, like tonight, what do you think you're hearing?
Oh, it sounds, a lot of it sounds very much like voices. They've had several programs, I think, on the Learning Channel where they've dealt with some EVP before.
That's right. A lot of people assume this is, something unusual to my show and just some sort of catchy thing. It's not. EVP is a science of its own. It's been around now for a long, long time. But the point he made about higher tech equipment that, for example, a forensic police labs use to pick voices out, you might approach somebody in one of those labs, like the FBI crime lab, like they're not too busy, huh? or something like that, and worm your way in and see if you can get some of that technology, because applied to what you're doing now, it could be incredible.
Well, we would ask anybody who does have access to that technology or a background in audio engineering to contact us.
All right. How about how to contact you? How do they do it?
Well, there's a couple of ways you can contact us. One, you can go to the website and email any one of the members by clicking on their names. You can email the GIS at ghostpix.com. The website address
That's Ghost, G-H-O-S-T, Pix, P-I-X, .com.
That's the website.
All right.
And you can also contact us now by P.O. Box, and that is the Ghost Investigator Society at P.O. Box 2383, Layton, Utah, 84041-9383.
Well, you're going to have to do that again. Everybody's grabbing for a pen and not by any means getting it all. So the address again, please.
All right. The address is the Ghost Investigator Society at P.O. Box 2383, Layton, Utah, 84041-9383.
Okay. Or at ghostpix, that's P-I-X .com.
Yes.
All right. All right, by the way, the Montana Horror, whatever in the hell that thing is on the website right now, folks. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, it's me, Greg.
Yes, Greg.
Calling from the Monsterin Pacific Northwest, KOMO.
Como, yes, sir, 1000 Seattle.
Oh, yeah, the big bad boy. So, two questions. One, does this ever freak you out while you're out there?
Yeah.
And you're in a, you know, come on. Bunch of graves, and does it ever really freak you out while you're out there?
We're actually more scared of the living. We're afraid in some of the places that we go, which are quite run down and abandoned, that there might be a transient or somebody that might attack us.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense, yeah. So, another question, and it kind of relates to what the previous caller was. I listened to Art on a 1932 Philco radio that I rebuilt. Oh, it's a beauty.
Yeah.
I love this thing.
Good
and
for you.
Believe me, they are so hard to rebuild.
They are. But sure, try to go find tubes. There are some antique suppliers, but it's hard.
It is so hard. But I can, like tonight, I can listen to things, and they come through so clear, and I can hear them just beautifully. And I hear them the first time through.
Well, congratulations, sir, and good luck on restoring old radios is a blast. And to listen to something like this coming out of an old radio, old Philco speaker, middle of the night, ay, ay, ay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hello.
Finally, yay.
Yes.
Hi, Art.
Where are you?
My name's Eric. I'm calling from Peabody, Mass.
Okay.
And I listen to NWRKO.
Yes, sir.
And I have just 2 points to make, and then I'll hang up and listen offline.
Sure.
One is, I think when the one that was out on the south side, it also could have sounded like out by the stop sign. If you listen to it again, it looked pretty clear to me.
Out by the stop sign.
I know.
Well, they lived
weird.
On a corner, and there was a stop sign on that corner.
Maybe there was an accident of some kind out there. Who knows?
Well, that's interesting, yeah.
Now, what would really quench this for me is if you went to a foreign country like Spain or Holland and these voices started speaking Spanish, French, or Dutch.
Now, that's it's really interesting that you bring that up. I was just sent an article today by a man named Joseph Bowman about a researcher in Italy that has been doing some wonderful EVP research, and all of his voices are in Italian. And as we've mentioned, we've been to cemeteries where there's quite a mixed population from people or of people from other countries and have recorded German and Spanish and things like that.
And some are not sure what the language is, but we know it's not English.
Right. And one last point. I wonder if it has to do with the researchers, like if they speak English, if the voices will manifest as English, or if maybe you send someone out who speaks Spanish or another language, if maybe they will hear somehow on the tape magically, I don't know, it'll appear in a different language.
That is a really good point. I don't think we've ever thought of that before.
And I'll listen off the end now. Thank you.
Well, All right. He's listening off air. Anything else you do want to add? Or?
Well, we don't know anybody right offhand that knows how to speak another language that would be willing to go out with us.
So when you get there, you'll try it?
Yes.
All right.
I think it'd be interesting to see what they would...
A lot of people fast-blasting me want to know why the sing-songy voice so many times. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, other than just maybe the attitude of that entity at the time, whatever mood they're in.
And I can imagine a lot of the prisoners probably pass their time singing.
Yeah, so can I, actually. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the EVP Kings and Queens. Hello? No, push the button, Arthur. Now you're on the air. Sorry about that, caller.
Hello, this is Anthony in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, Alaska, way up north, yes.
And I've got two questions. The first one, has any member of the GIS team ever gone to a pet cemetery and recorded animal sounds?
We've gone to a pet cemetery, but we have not recorded animal sounds there. We have recorded animal sounds at other locations, but not at the pet cemetery.
Okay, and then my other question, most people seem to think that from a ghost point of view on the other side, time would be different. So have you ever heard an EVP that refers to something that you're about to say on the tape?
Yeah.
Really?
Actually, in fact, that example that we played tonight, the one where it says no, yes, and then Roger asks if anybody will speak with us.
Uh-huh.
I kind of wondered if that was them contemplating that question before it had been asked.
We've had occurrences where it seems like they've answered a question. Sometimes there have been on occasions where they have said something, and then one of the members will repeat almost word for word what the EVP said.
Hmm. Boy, this is strange stuff. First time caller line, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes. On recording number 16, I have a question also, but recording number 16, what I got when I listened to that was my friend is still outside.
My friend is still outside. Now, that's interesting because the first time I heard that, I heard I'm still outside.
Oh, okay, because I got my friend is still outside when I heard that over and over.
Really? That's a very interesting one, number 16, isn't it?
Okay. It is.
Yes, it is.
The reason is it's just so clear and loud.
Okay.
But then again, that goes back to what we were saying, that even though they're loud, they're not so easy to discern what's being said.
Yeah, let's all listen again. Number 16, and actually number 16, they think, and I thought too, was very clear, and I thought it said, out by the south side. Listen.
Out by the south side. Out by the south side. Out by the south side.
And you still hear the same thing, Holly?
I still hear the same thing. My friend is still outside.
I'm hearing out by the south side.
I'm going to listen and try to hear my friend.
Out by the south side. Out by the south side. Out by the south side.
Caller, I still have got the same thing.
I don't hear friend.
Yeah, okay. I don't either, but I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay. Also, I do have a question. How would a person get into something like this?
very carefully.
Very carefully.
It's extremely easy. As I've mentioned, I started out as a skeptic. I believed in ghosts, but I did not believe in the EVP phenomenon. And it really, all it took was me taking a little $10 tape recorder out with a brand new tape and trying it. And it probably took me three times until I received a voice, and ever since then I've just been fascinated.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
it really doesn't matter whether it's an expensive recorder or a cheap one. You can record EVP on any tape recorder.
On any tape, then. Okay. Well, thank you. I think I'll give that a whirl.
Would you report back to me, please, on how you do, sir?
Sure, I will.
All right, I'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yeah, I was wondering, have they ever decided to go into, like, a place where they had, like, a famous battle or somewhere in American history and try to contact, well, not necessarily contact, but...
Yeah, battlefields. Battlefields. That's the question, you two. Have you ever gone to, like, Gettysburg, whatever?
We haven't gone to Gettysburg. We've gone up to areas where there have been
massacres
and things like that in the Old West days.
And what do you get?
General EVP, generally what we've played. There have been times we've recorded just faint screaming and kind of what sounds like almost a residual gunshot.
A residual gunshot, that's really interesting. We were talking earlier about there are people now who believe that the Vatican has what they're calling a kind of time machine, and the theory is that sound and light literally last forever, linger forever, once created, never die. Light, of course, is energy, and sound is, too, and so it could easily be. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
A couple of questions real quick. Have y'all ever recorded voices in the normal octave of people that y'all didn't hear at the time? You know, like normal speaking voices.
We have. And that's interesting because a lot of this is not audible at the time. There are times when we do hear it at the time, but that's extremely rare. But yes, we have recorded them in the regular human speech sound.
Okay. And what type of software do y'all use for pulling the EVPs out?
What type of what, sir?
Of software. What are y'all using to? Because I know it gets muddled down in it's below the normal octave of hearing, and it gets muddled in the noise, in the background noise. And I'm wondering how do you pull that out?
If I were
interested in recording some stuff and.
Well, I think the truth is, with a lot of EVPs, even though they're hard to hear, you won't have to pull it out of anything. It will just be there.
Okay.
Is that true, y'all?
Yes, that's correct. All you need to do, really, is take your recorder and patch it somehow into the sound card of your computer, and then...
make a WAV file.
Yeah, just make a WAV file, MP3 file, whatever. And there's 20 million different freeware programs that can pull it off. We use a combination of different programs, but the main one is CoolEdit.
CoolEdit. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're going to try a caller?
Yes, I am. I've actually had a voice say, "Help me, Randy, help me." And
that came over what?
It came from everywhere.
Oh.
It was in my garage, and it was the most incredible Dolby surround sound I'd ever heard.
Huh.
I literally was frozen with fear. It blew me away.
Is your name Randy?
Yes, it is. That's one thing
that I've noticed when we have audibly heard them. It sounds like it comes from nowhere. I mean, you can't pinpoint where it's coming from. It sounds like it's all around you.
Yeah, it totally encompassed me.
Yes.
It was from everywhere and from in my head, and it literally froze me with fear.
As you said, Dolby sound, huh?
Oh, it THX and all has nothing on it. It was amazing.
Well,
get your recorder and go out into your garage again.
Yeah, and we'd definitely be interested in hearing any results that you might get from it.
I will definitely am going to do that. And you said it's CoolEdit.
Yes, CoolEdit.
Okay,
All right.
I appreciate it.
Caller, thank you. And, folks, we are out of time. Again, what an incredible program you have provided. I hope you will be back again soon. I trust you'll be out there collecting... and collecting, eh?
In fact,
every day.
Just real quick, you might be interested to know that we are planning on going back to the Rollins Prison.
I am interested. Thank you. Good night,
Thank you
two.
Good night.
All right, there you have it, folks. That's the GIS group. Don't forget, tomorrow night, My Little Town Drunk, we're going to have the big, and I mean really big bang. If you're in range, come on out. That's tomorrow night. That's except tomorrow, tonight, actually, this time zone.
Nothing but the dead, now I am back in my little town.
Here in the high desert. So, for tonight...
in my little town.
Good night, all.
I never meant nothing, I was just my father's son.